I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party with us on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including Westchester County and the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Senior contributor Christopher Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. Our regular contributor, our food, wine, cocktail, everything food guy, Alex Province of Hartford. And you can tell your friends no matter where they live, they can listen to the Food Schmooze as a podcast or listen online from anywhere in the world, as many people do, at WNPR.org. Hey, thank you to the thousands of you visiting our website for cocktail, wine, and food recipes and restaurant and cooking tips. We have brand new stuff up there right now. It is great chatting with you there. Just go to Faith Middleton Food Schmooze online. Later in the show, we're going to tell you about how to make dry spice rub mixtures that will make everything you grill delicious. You can do it in the oven year-round. It jacks up the flavor. It is calorie-friendly at the same time, and that's ahead. Right now, we're going to tell you about a visit we had to Saybrook Point Inn. This was like going away on a vacation, just having a meal there. I mean, I stayed over one night. It was unbelievable.
Where was okay. I?
I know. And Lori, where were you? Okay,
so you were busy.
Right now, we're gonna do a wine challenge. The people say there are these tricks to make wine taste better, and we have wines lined up right here in the studio. We're gonna find out if it's true here and now. Here is our test. We're gonna do another one next week. Test number one. Here's what happened. An editor at Cook's Illustrated said that he used a simple, inexpensive milk frother. You know, the kind you put in any liquid. It's handheld. It's small. And to buzz milk to put it to make a latte,
cappuccino,
whatever you want to do. And he said he buzzed a glass of wine to see if it would taste better, and it was, in fact, he said, much better. And we said, really, can this be true? So we're excited to test this out now on the show to see if it works. We're going to tell you what simple wine we are using, how much the little frother costs, and then taste the wine. This is a blind test, right, Chris?
Oh, I'm going to be doing it. So I'm okay. The only one who's going to know which okay. one's frothed and which one's not.
And then we're going to taste it before and after. One cup marked A, one cup marked B.
Yeah.
And you're going to – okay, so go ahead. You can
right,
just pour that into the
pouring.
Glasses.
So we have glasses marked A and B.
Okay, and while Chris is doing that – Alex, this little frother, I have one at home. I use it for all kinds of things. I'm not talking about an immersion blender. We're talking about what looks like a little toothpaste brush or something. Uh-huh. It's usually got a silver or white bottom.
A little flimsy.
Flimsy little thing. And I found them. Chris got his at IKEA. I got mine, too, for
yep.
$7.
We did, too.
And you can get them all the way up to $50 at a cooking store or online, which seems crazy to me. But
are they good for other things, too, besides wine?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Whipped
anything.
Cream.
Oh, yeah. Whipped
Quick,
cream.
One portion or two portions of whipped cream?
Absolutely. Fantastic. If you want a little.
I use it for my protein shake.
Protein, sure.
Just Chris, I used it to make an instant whipped cream just for myself. I had some heavy cream for my
See?
Tea
mm-hmm.
in the refrigerator when you gave us those strawberries from Holcomb
right?
Farm.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Alex, while Chris is getting ready, I'm not
we
looking.
Can't look.
We're not looking. Alex, you've been a wine importer, and you know wine. So why is getting more oxygen into wine a good idea while Chris is getting this
Too
ready?
Much is bad. Too little is bad. So you want the sweet spot. And you can take – you know how if you leave a glass of wine on your counter overnight, like say you forgot about it?
Yeah.
Sometimes certain wines the next day, they actually taste better. So it's that like sort of astringent, bitter taste that certain brand new wines taste when you first open them.
Yeah.
If you add air to them, they soften, those astringent tastes go away. So I'm having a hard time not looking over
Don't look.
Chris.
Don't look.
I don't want to
okay.
cheat.
So it is true. You think it is it's the truth.
I absolutely believe it, yes.
Okay.
But if you took an old wine that already has been oxidized, meaning it sort of already tastes like sherry and it's, you know, oxidation's just like cutting an apple on the counter and it turns yellow. That's oxidation.
So if it's an old, very big tannic wine, it's good to do it. Thank you. I've got my A and my B
glass. If it's a young tannic wine, it's good to do it. If it's an old wine that's already been aged, it's already, you know, essentially had air come through the cork over the past 10 years, you don't need to do this. In fact, I would not do this.
Okay.
But if this is a real, just a real Italian, authentic wine that sort of...
Yeah, the kind we get
the
for
kind
a
we love,
party on the spot.
This would definitely, this is going to work. I'm convinced.
No, but here's the thing. Can you taste the difference between the one way? We've got the same wine in the glass, and Chris is going to tell us later which is which.
Okay.
And we just did one wine, and now we're going to taste. Chris, thank you for the buzzing of the wine. What kind of wine is this that you chose?
It's a Bordeaux blend.
So basically, not expensive.
No, it was a $12-$13 bottle.
And we chose Bordeaux, Alex, because
there's a lot of tannins. Bordeaux, natural. You know, you can find these great $10 Bordeaux, but when you open them, sometimes they taste almost like an unripe banana, like that sensation in your mouth of like over-brewed tea or like chewing on an aspirin, or those tannins bind to the protein in your saliva and sort of make your mouth not slippery anymore.
Okay.
And if you aerate it, those tannins soften and go away.
Now, I'm going to do something right now.
Yeah, there we go.
Because Alex helped me cheat. And I'm not going to cheat. And here's what I'm going to do. You're going to think this is
like a card trick. Yeah, shuffling the glasses because there's some bubbles in them.
He said, oh, you're going to tell by the bubbles. And I didn't even think of that. And so I thought, I'm going to kill you now. So now I'm shaking both glasses.
You were that kid always looking for that little edge on a test or whatever.
Here we go.
Right?
I'm tasting one. This is just a simple Bordeaux, $15 a number.
Even less. Yeah, I think this one was 12.
I got rid of the bubbles, so I don't know either.
Mm, it's a good wine, whatever that is.
I confused myself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a huge difference.
Totally.
It's almost a sharpness that goes away, almost like
tightness.
Those are the tannins.
Makes you almost go pucker, right?
Tea bag.
Those are tannins.
It's called a tea bag.
And if you drink a wine that has lots of tannins, your saliva stops being slippery. Gives that sort of chalky taste in your mouth.
Yep.
Which one is better?
I thought A was better.
Mm-hmm. One definitely has a punch. A bitterness. A puckery kind of sucking thing.
Okay, I'm going with A.
Yeah.
Chris, you know what it is.
Yeah, it's A.
Is the one you buzzed?
A is the one I buzzed. And it's funny because I don't think the wine is like two totally different wines.
No.
It's just A is more pleasing. Is that the way to say it,
mm-hmm.
Alex?
Do
you know what I mean? It's softer.
They're both great, though. This is a good
wine.
This
is a very good wine.
But you know what? And this is the funny thing. Like, I know when I first started drinking wine, one of the best wine experiences I had it was 1994, and I had the 1990 Camus Spectra Selection.
Oh,
and I didn't know much about wine, and this is a really fancy wine, and I popped that cork and I tasted it and I'm like, I like this wine because it's an expensive wine, blah, blah, blah. And I sat there, I drank the bottle by myself over a 2-hour period. And it was the most amazing experience because the first sip was nothing like the last sip. And like Alex is saying, the wine is they're great with a good wine like this and a good solid wine. It's just it changes what the wine is from when it opens to 2 hours later.
So wouldn't it be fun to test whether doing this little frother trick is as good as putting it through a more expensive aerator that they sell now?
Going to do the same thing. If you already have this at home, use it.
Yeah.
So that worked. Now, we're going to surprise you even more because we wondered if this worked with a white wine because it wouldn't make sense really because the tannins that create that little pucker or make taste the way a tea bag does on the sides of your cheeks, on the sides of your tongue. That makes the wine super food friendly, by the way. So that's a good thing to have in a wine.
If you go back now, A is so much smoother.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just did my final sip and that.
Okay, going to it.
It's really.
It's like as time goes by.
Yeah. And it'll right. And I think.
But is B also smoother? Because B is great.
I mean, it's a great. You picked too good of a wine, I think.
No. I took very.
B is not smoother.
No, but it's still a good wine. I see what he's saying.
Both
ways. Just at different places.
Yeah.
And basically, this is time.
Okay. Yeah. So here's the thing. This is the surprising thing about this. And if you're just coming to the show, let me tell you a quick recap. Thanks for your patience. little milk frother that you use to do milk so that you can put it with your coffee in the morning. We got ours, Chris and I got ours at IKEA for $7. Alex has got his somewhere at seven, for $7. People spend up to $50, $80 for these things. So they can get fancy, but it's a simple little handheld thing. It's not a big immersion blender. It's just that little handheld battery-operated thing.
Let's try the immersion blender.
Wow, wouldn't that be something?
That would add some air to this.
Oh, my God. Okay, so listen. Here we said, what if, because we have a wine to tell you about that's just great white drinking wine. We love this wine. And it's at a great price point. And we said, what if we liked it all by itself? What if we did the buzzer in this wine? It shouldn't work with white wine unless it's a gorgeous white wine with a lot of structure. And this was a real Italian white wine. So it's the real thing as a wine goes. We did it, and we loved it just the way it is. But I'll tell you, it was better. It was shocking. I thought, how is that even possible? But the air going into that wine, I don't care what you say, it was better. All right, so we're going to tell you what that great drinking wine is for this summer. Right after we take a break, we're going to go to Dr. Rubb. We're going to tell you about restaurant visits. We're going to tell you about dinners on the farm. Oh, we've got so much coming your way. I cannot wait to tell you. Chris, quickly, this Bordeaux is called what that
well,
we like?
It's a Bordeaux blend, so it's not actually from Bordeaux, but it has the same grapes, and Alex is going to pronounce it for us.
So it's Livia Feluga.
So
Livia, one of my favorite guys.
It's Livia Feluga is also one of my favorite winemakers, and they make a white that is in two different versions, the high end and the lower end. They're both good. The high-end one is devastatingly good.
That is the best Pinot Grigio. Livia Feluga is the best Pinot Grigio maker
I've ever had.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Unbelievable. And with pesto, it's killer. Oof. Okay, so that was great. And that's around somewhere between 12, 13, probably 12 to 15 in the region for that red blend. But check them out as a winemaker, red or white. Great stuff coming. I'm Faith Middleton. I hope you will make a charitable contribution to Feed the Hungry. More mouthwatering conversation and fun here on the Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. I'll be ready tomorrow night. That's what Beans said to Cornbread.
You know, every time this plays, I think of our little people.
Dancing in the
backseat. In the car, listening to this, I know from, I have been at events where the Food Schmooze has been on the air now for 15 years, and I have been, I mean, Lori, isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is.
It's just so amazing. I have been at events where kids have grown up with this show playing in the car as they're going to events, coming home from school, and they are now at Food Schmooze events with dates as grown-ups, you know,
crazy,
I mean, and
right?
saying, I grew up with this show, and I think, oh, don't say that to me. That means
I'm
15
say,
years
I'd
older.
I'd like to say it's that, like, too.
What do you mean?
So it is, I know what this song means to kids. And so, kids, if you're listening right now, I really appreciate it, too. We chose this song because we loved it. We love this particular performance of it. There are other groups that do it. And we think this has so much heart and soul. So We're with you on that. We still love it to this day. It's a tradition here on the show. You can always count us to keep playing that song. I want to say thank you for making the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze Martini competition to benefit WNPR a sold-out event. This has been true. This is the fifth year, and it's sold out every time from the very beginning. We call it a martini competition, Innovative Martinis. Thank you for your support. Thank you to businesses who said, let's make this a thank you gift to our clients and our employees. And to those of you who just like to party and have a good time, to the restaurants who provided food, to the competitors at these restaurants, the bartenders who did this, and to all of you on the show for all the participation to prepare everything for this. We're very proud of our cocktail section online at foodschmooze.org. So just a giant thank you to everybody. It means so much to us when you respond, because we like that two-way chatting. That's why the website means so much to us. So anyway, thank you. Can we talk about eating by the water? Whether it's lake water or sound water or ocean water, right? Isn't it just the
best? We're so blessed. Yeah,
the breeze, beautiful. Right? That summer breeze coming off the water. Whether you're right, whether it's lake or ocean, it doesn't matter. Oh, the sound, it doesn't matter.
It's ocean's just a little better.
It is so incredible.
It's so nice.
You have a big lake by you, sorry.
Oh, no. I mean, I've been to some restaurants on lakes, lakeside, where Vineyard is, and it was unbelievable. It was really just amazing.
Yeah,
so
Lake Cuomo in Italy. I mean, there's a lake.
Yeah.
When you're eating on that lake, that's different. Lake
Garda. Hey, George.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I hate to tell you this, but I'm going there this summer. My sister. I'm taking my sister. It's a sister trip. I'm taking my sister to that region. We're going to Treviso, which is right next to Venice. We're going to go to Venice. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to stay in Treviso with our friends at their apartment in Treviso. And then we're going to go to Lake Garda, and we're going to just see that whole region.
I don't think he'll mind.
No. All right. So we're doing this thing. I have this theory that if you eat by the water, whether it's lake water or salt water, it is, or that brackish water in between, it is so transporting. You just feel like you're on a vacation. Whether you go for a meal or you go for an overnight, a weekend, a week, lucky people, a month, a whole summer, some people do. It's just the most amazing thing. So I would like to issue a food schmooze challenge. And that is that, wouldn't it be fun if you're someone who cannot take a vacation, this is your busy time of year, and you have still 2 days off a week. Many of our restaurant friends, that is the case, or our food purveyors, these shop owners, that is the case. Big business in the summer. I was at Starfish Market in Guilford, Connecticut. This is their big season. This is not a time for them.
For weekends.
No, this is not a time for them.
Be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So if you're that person, if you're someone who says, either I have a project or I can't afford to this year, honestly, one meal on the water or a weekend away, you feel like you've gone to another country. And here we are in our own zone. Mm-hmm. Connecticut is so diverse. We have so many places to eat on the water. Yeah. I challenge you every weekend to go to a different place on the water. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, my gosh. You could have so much fun.
Or a little picnicky thing by the water, and then go to a nearby restaurant for dinner. Yeah. A lunch by the water, and then a nearby restaurant for dinner. So you can go inland or you can do coastal, okay? So here's what happened. Alex Province, Matthew Bennett, and I were invited to try dinner at Fresh Salt. That is the name of the restaurant at Saybrook Point Inn and Spa in Saybrook, Connecticut. It's on the water. It's situated where the Connecticut River joins up with Long Island Sound. Chris, you have been there, so you know this.
It's beautiful. The view, right? And the docks.
It's unbelievable. The
you
lighthouses.
Want to go sailing with me?
You can see three lighthouses.
That.
Okay, so we were interested in doing this because the menu offers things from simple to more composed, beautifully presented meals. Mm-hmm. It is your choice, and I like that. The atmosphere, Alex, right, very relaxed. You don't have to feel like you have to dress up.
Right on the mouth of the Connecticut River. I mean, you couldn't get any closer to the you know, Long Island Sound. It's right on the river.
And the restaurant, I mean, I feel like I could open the window in all the dining rooms and there's screens, but I feel like I could reach down and touch the water. I mean, it's just fantastic.
You had your fishing pole?
From the table? I like that.
Trust me.
I got
you
it.
Catch it, you eat it.
Can you cook this for me?
You know, that is a great idea for a restaurant. Wouldn't that be something?
We bait your hook for you?
You okay. Catch it, we cook it.
So, hey, I loved our time at this waterfront spot so much that I wanted to move. I thought, why didn't I move to Saybrook, Connecticut? Yeah. It is the most adorable town. I've thought that before, but
Matt
it is
loved it too.
So charming. So here we are. We go to the inn. They invite us to come. This was last week, and we had the best time. This is an incredible spot. We see all kinds of boats pulling up. We see even some yachts anchoring there. And this is called call-ahead dining. So you just call ahead from your car or your watercraft, and you say, I'm coming. I'm this far away. Our systems and cars now can tell us, you know, what is the wait time.
ETA,
and they will take reservations that way. And I think that's pretty smart. There's a wonderful outdoor patio at Fresh Salt. And with a cool, very cool fire feature for all year round without, you know, the heat. Chairs are on all the dock strips for dining. All the boats and yachts are clanging away. And it's about an hour to 2 hours, depending where you live in our listening audience. And you feel like you've gone to Europe. So we have executive chef Leslie Tripp and the property manager who's returned to the property. He's so good. John Lombardo, the general manager, is we all were together. And they said, go ahead, taste right from the regular menu because we wanted to taste exactly what other people are eating. We don't, you know, it's possible to go into a restaurant and you know when they're fooling you. As Jacques Pepin and I, we've talked about this all the time. You just know what's good and you know when they're fooling around. So here's what we tried from the regular menu. We tried the Nori tuna roll, which normally would be a roll, except these were in these gorgeous triangles with an orchid. Gorgeous. So good with
that
sauces
sauce.
For dipping. Oh, oof, my. Oof. Then we did the fresh pea soup. Chef uses the pea shells, the pea pods, to make a stock.
Oh, that's a very good idea.
And then a chunk of lobster.
Mm.
Wasn't that good? And then two kinds of peas, right, Alex? And that was so pea-like, which is nice because it's a fresh season.
And
you know?
Healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so delicious.
He
and
said
fresh.
There was like a whisper of cream instead of dousing it with cream, and it doesn't taste like anything. Hey, this property has a great history. Yeah. Remember when it was Terra Mar?
Sure. Brian Olbrick was the chef
back then. The Rat Pack, the real Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra crowd, Ted Kennedy. Oh, my. I don't know. I don't know when that was, but I remember. This was like a big thing, hangout. You know, back in the day,
so
they would
beautiful.
Say there was the mob was coming in there and everything. Boats would pull up. And
I love
really,
the picture of Ted Kennedy on the wall.
I know. Me too. And the whole Rat Pack stuff. They've got the history on all the walls in this place. So anyway, to continue quickly with what we had a Wild King salmon that was fantastic.
Oh, beautiful crust.
Bone-in. And swordfish, which I thought was incredible. Here was the thing that knocked me out. I would never choose fresh tuna, but they have a relation. It was the best thing. They have a relationship with all the fishermen locally.
Of course, the boats are right
tuna
there.
It was unbelievable. Really, they do a Rhode Island clam chowder, which is without cream. It is Rhode Island style and with lots of. He starts with lardon, you know, in other words, a kind of pancetta thing, a pork thing that they do, like a bacony thing. And then to start this mirepoix, you know, of the chopped vegetables. And then they start doing the clams and the clam juice. Fantastic. He does a chicken that has a savory, in other words, unsweet French toast that's like a zucchini bread. And then a chicken that's very juicy with a cream sauce goes over with vegetables. They have the most incredible truffle fries with parmesan and fresh parsley.
You want some more of that?
You know what
we did?
We were raving. You know how you eat and you talk about food? John Lombardo is sitting at the table. He's listening to us, the general manager. He's listening to us, and he says, would you excuse me for a minute? It's time to order dessert. And the chef brings over for dessert a basket of these truffle fries.
That's dessert.
That's
my dessert.
At them so crazily. I couldn't stop
it's
eating
so hot.
Them. And then, of course, we had dessert. Honestly, fabulous. So
the beef.
here's the deal. Oh, the beef.
With the roquefort and the butter and the shallots and the asparagus.
Really, really
cooked.
Good. Yeah, okay. So they have about 100 rooms. I stayed there overnight. They were so lovely and said, try a room. They had banquet rooms. All these business meetings were going on. They do weddings and all that stuff. But I stayed one night, and it's a three-story building, historic building that they renovated to the letter. And it's called the Katharine Hepburn Room. It's on the third floor with a porch overlooking the harbor. It is the fabulous room. If you've got a special thing for an overnight, please book this room. They also have a lighthouse that they made into a cottage, which is very Ralph Lauren.
A real lighthouse.
A real lighthouse very that they did a little add-on to. Yeah. Right out. It is like in the water. Yeah. Honestly, it is unbelievable. You can see three lighthouses from it itself and two more lighthouses.
Yeah. Very cool.
They have a spa. It is just one of the most relaxed places to do a getaway in Connecticut. I really love this place. The owners are the loveliest people, the Tagliatellas, and they're raised in Connecticut. They care. They work on arts boards because they care about the towns they're in. And I've known them for years, and I have always so respected them. That counts for a lot, I have to say. So Saybrook Point Inn and Spa, both the inn and spa and the restaurant separately have a 5-diamond rating.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and you can go from relax. Here's what I like. Totally relaxed clothes, everybody. Shorts, golf shirts, boating, hanging around, pool, spa, exercise, fitness room, you know, the whole thing.
It's like a mini
Everybody's
vacation.
Walking around in shorts. Yeah. Nobody's being fancy. And in the dining room, you know, or in the pub or anything, you can get anything from the simplest thing to something more composed.
And even
the drive
down on Saybrook is beautiful. It's so charming. You drive down Main Street and you look around. It's like going back in time.
It really is. Yeah. So thank you to
Connecticut treasure.
Now, listen, before we go to the barbecue rub section, which is unbelievable, don't miss this. I want to tell you that Dinners at the Farm is starting in Connecticut through July, and this is where Jonathan Rapp of River Tavern and a bunch of other people get together, a lot of organizations, and they bring the food truck in and they do these dinners on tables at various farms. Really, it is amazing, and don't even be amazed if you find yourself put to work. Because it's like hysterical. And it really delicious.
Great
eating
time.
Out in the farm fields with the fresh stuff
food,
and everything.
Food right there.
Okay. We're going to tell you about it very fast about a wine. Chris Prosperi at Metro Bees in Simsbury is going to do a movie at the property, right? Because it's an inn and the restaurant. They're going to do a movie at the property. What are you going to show?
We're going to show Vertigo, and there's a wine called Vertigo.
So Bolivia Faluga
wine?
And
I have Vertigo.
And you have Vertigo, so you're going to be sitting in the front.
Okay. Here we go. Here is our great summer white that we want you to try. It is fantastic, and it is so affordable. It's around $16. Wine enthusiast likes this wine as we do. And it is from Marotti Campi.
It's a real wine.
It is a real wine. And this vineyard in Italy has been in the family for more than a century. And it's got very mineral and very, this is a great sipping wine. It was great with food. And we bust it with the milk frother and it was incredible.
Came out of Spanish broom.
This is great with appetizers, pasta, rice, fish, white meats, and it can be served as an aperitif. This is a great summer wine at that price point. And online you will find what to say at your wine point, cellar fine wines. It's at foodschmooze.org, S-C-H-M-O-O-Z-E. Coming up, barbecue spice rubs, including what we're going to use as our go-to summer spice rub that involves chocolate cocoa powder, and it's unbelievable on a pork roast. Unbelievable to put on the grill. Please support your local food growers and food makers. More delicious conversation after this quick break. Please stay with us.
My house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Come on to my house. house, my house, come on. Come on to my house, my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you figs and tapes and a grapes and a cake. Yeah. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you everything.
I'm Faith Middleton. That's the Bette Midler version. And wow, I don't think anybody's done it better. I mean, I love the classic version, but wow. I bet she said, oh, I can do something with that. I'm with the gang. This is the Food Schmooze Party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR and to join the conversation with us on Facebook, search The Faith Middleton Show. So with Chris Prosperi, Alex Province, Lori Mack, let's go to this recipe we're about to give you. It's on our website, foodschmooze.org, F-O-O-D-S-C-H like school, M-O-O like the cow, Z-E, foodschmooze.org. We're going to go to, we put the recipe up because it is phenomenally good. When it comes out of the oven or the grill, I suppose. Yeah. You just look so fabulous because the thing has a char on the outside, this pork roast. Anyway, so this is so calorie-friendly, and it is in Dr. Barbecue's new cookbook called Flavorize. It's about marinades, injections, brines, rubs, and glazes, yes. But we're going to focus on that one section, the dry rubs. It's my favorite, and I know it is Dr. Barbecue's favorite. I mean spices mixed together and some herbs too, and you can really boost flavor of what you're grilling or what you're roasting in the oven. And since a lot of forms of protein now are low fat, they're raised that way. It's what a health community is telling us we should do. And so, frankly, they need help. And so, because the fat would provide the flavor along with the actual flavor of the meat, the way these animals were raised. And so unless you're buying from a farm, the flavor's disappearing. So these rubs are so fun because they are beautiful flavor all by themselves. I really like what this man does. And you can create a beautiful caramelization on the meat or seafood that you're grilling because of the rub. Our guest, the author of Flavorize, Dr. Barbecue, Ray Lampe. He's author of 5 cookbooks. He's a chef. He's a judge on the Food Network, cooking teacher, and barbecue columnist. Welcome back to the show, Ray.
Hi, Faith. Good to hear you. That's a lot of stuff I did.
I know. Isn't that something when you see your life out there? Okay, I want to start, Ray, and we're in your section with the rubs, and I want to start with this cocoa grill rub. So, Chris, you and I were saying to each other, we're very sparing when we put cocoa on something because we're afraid it's going to be too much. This asks for a lot of cocoa powder, and the result is absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, mind-blowing. This is my summer rub for – I love it. On the top of each recipe, it has what it goes with, but this is my summer rub for meats because it just adds – a flavor that you're just not right, not ready for almost. It just pops in your mouth.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And it comes out, the pork tenderloin.
The way it looks.
It's like, it's got this, right, Alex? Mm. It's like brown, black char.
I walked into
the
studio and I thought you were making chocolate cake.
He did. He's like, we're having cake? I'm like,
oh
no.
Oh, my God.
No,
it's just incredible, right? I mean, Lori, you loved it, right?
Oh, who couldn't? Who didn't? Yeah. I mean, we all ate every
bite
of it.
Like you said, it has a lot of cocoa. And I was apprehensive when I made it last night, the rub I made last night. And I was like, that's a lot of cocoa powder. And I've made rubs with cocoa in it. I've made sauces with cocoa. And you usually just – a light hand usually does you right. And
I think it's going to come out like some Mexican mole, which is not, you know, it's not like that. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic.
No, this is a keeper.
I thought it was going to come out like a mole, too. I got to be honest.
Right?
You did?
Yeah. I mean, that's the adventure of writing cookbooks. You can't stay in your comfort zone. Okay, we've all made rubs with a little bit of cocoa in there, but I needed to try it. And if it didn't work, fine, I move on. But, I mean, you know what I mean? That's the adventure of writing cookbooks. You have to do something different. And you force yourself out of your little comfort zone, and you try stuff. And you know, after a while, you get kind of good at it. But I got to tell Chris, tell me this. Do you think you would identify that as cocoa if you hadn't made it?
No.
It doesn't even have that cocoa flavor. No. That's what's weird about it.
It's weird. It's really weird. But it leaves you this amazing aftertaste in your mouth that just wants you – you just want to eat more and more and more.
Oh, we did.
We really did. That pork tenderloin, the whole big thing disappeared. So
good.
And I want to say that I had just eaten a scrambled egg and a couple strips of bacon, and I thought, oh, I'll just have a bite. And as you know, I had two giant servings. So, and Chris, as usual, has made it beautifully. So let me just run through the ingredients, Chris, and then would you explain what you did? And then off we go, Ray, with all your other rubs here. This is calorie-friendly, beautiful, powerful flavor to your meat or seafood. So this cocoa grill rub, it's going to be Chris's rub for the summer, and I think it's going to be
mine too.
Hey, this is on our website. You don't have to write this down. Foodschmooze.org. Quarter cup of unsweetened cocoa powder, some kosher salt Morton's you use, sugar in the raw or any other raw sugar, chili powder, black pepper, dried orange peel, which you can get in any supermarket, cinnamon, and just a pinch of nutmeg. So, Chris, what'd you do?
Yeah, you just basically take all that, and I put it in the bowl of a food processor and just pulsed it a few times just to get it going. And, you know, because the cocoa powder was a little clumpy in the beginning, but this just breaks it all up, and then you put it in a container.
Ray, you can store that blend, right, in an airtight container in a cool, dry place for a couple months, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, they're just dry seasonings that you would have on your shelf anyway. You're just putting them all in the same bowl, and seal them back up, keep them somewhere safe, and yeah, that stuff will stay all summer.
What if you don't have a food processor with you? Say you're on vacation. You did it to blend these spices together. What would you do? Just rub it with your hands?
Just mix it with a spoon. It's okay. The reason we throw a lot of them in the food processor is the ingredients aren't all the same size. Obviously, that cocoa is really fine, and the kosher salt is really coarse. So throwing it in the food processor kind of breaks them all down and gets them to the same consistency. But it's certainly okay to use it without. Just make sure you mix it really good with a spoon or a fork.
Okay. So, Chris, you just mixed all those together. Yeah. There's nothing complicated this recipe. And then how did you...
Yeah, it's a dry rub, so you just take it and I put it on a little sheet pan, you know, sprinkled a little bit, and then I just rolled the pork tenderloin.
Oh, you roll it in?
Yeah, I rolled it in it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, got the right amount on there, and then I put it on the grill, and as I was turning it, I was just brushing it with a little bit of oil just to keep it going, and it was gorgeous. Cooked it till it was nice and pink in the middle.
I always feel compelled to sort of use my hands to
rub it in there.
Ray, you say to let that rest for 5 minutes with that seasoning until you start, you know, before you cook it.
Yeah, just so it sticks on there well. I don't necessarily, sometimes I will, sometimes I won't, like put a liquid or a paste or even olive oil on the food before I put the rub on. Sometimes I feel like that keeps the rub from actually getting to know the meat. So I like to put it on there, but it takes a couple minutes for it to draw a little bit of moisture out of the meat and get tacky. Don't worry, it's not going to draw enough out in 5 minutes to dry out that pork tenderloin. So, you know, it just kind of gets tacky on there. Yeah, that's why I let it sit. But I don't like to put it on like hours ahead of time either. There's just no reason to do that.
What you do is if you're not, you know, so handy with grilling or you've never tried something like this before, I'm reading from Dr. Barbecue's recipe. And so you've got it coated just as Chris did it. And then you put that tenderloin on the grill and you cook it sitting there for 5 to 6 minutes. Until the tenderloin, or maybe you're doing a couple, are golden brown on the bottom. And then you flip them one-third of the way over and cook them for another 5 to 6 minutes until that side is golden brown. And then you flip them to the third side and cook another 5 to 6 minutes. You see what we're doing? It's like turning them 3 times, 5 to 6 minutes each time. And if you're using a thermometer, you want it to be about 150 degrees Fahrenheit.
If you're not using a thermometer, you should be. Let's say that.
Yep.
Okay.
The only way to get it just right.
Yeah, because you don't want to overcook a pork tenderloin, then it's dried out. Transfer the pork to a plate, tent it loosely with some foil, and let it rest for 5 minutes. Why are we tenting it there?
Just to keep anything from getting on it. I don't like it to get cold. My house is usually a lot colder than my outdoor when I got the air conditioning running, so I like to keep just a piece of foil over it to keep it warm.
Okay.
And I don't want to wrap it up either because I don't necessarily want to wreck that crust. Mm. But I don't like it just sitting out in the open.
That chocolate, that cocoa powder rub is on our website, that recipe, with information about the book Flavorize. This is Dr. Barbecue Ray Lampe's book. And we're in the dry rub section. And at the top of every recipe, he's got pictures of an animal that tells you what are the proteins sources that you can that are best with this.
See, that was the way I wrote the book was, so that rub is actually a standalone recipe. But I didn't want to write a book just of rubs and sauces and marinades and stuff. I wanted to include a recipe. So I made the cocoa rub, and then I wrote a recipe for using the cocoa rub on a pork tenderloin. But I don't want people to just be stuck with that one recipe. By all means, put it on some other stuff.
Okay, and again, we've got marinades, injections, brines, and glazes in along with these rubs. So I want to make sure you understand that these chapters go to different things. And Ray, Dr. Barbecue Lampe, has been on the show before, and we just think he's terrific. Let's start with your basic dry rub. This opens the whole section, and this is an all-purpose kitchen rub. And as you say with your cartoon characters here, it can go with anything: pork, chicken, beef, lamb, fish, and vegetables. What's in this rub, Ray? This is a simple one.
Yeah, this is real simple. It's basically a seasoned salt. Salt, granulated garlic, granulated onion, paprika, and black pepper. That's all. Typically, a barbecue rub, we would have added sugar in there along the way, but you don't always need that. You know, it just shows you how simple a rub can be. It's just ingredients that you have. If you've ever sprinkled salt, pepper, and garlic powder on a steak, you've made a rub, but you just made it on top of the steak. What we do is add it into the bowl. In this case, we added a little onion, a little paprika to give it a nice color. But, you know, be creative. Make it your way. But it can be as simple as this or as complicated as the cocoa rub.
It makes about 3/4 cup, and that lasts, again, in the refrigerator. You don't even need a food processor for this one to blend it together. You just mix it with a spoon or a fork, and it stays in the cool, dry place for a couple of months. I mean, wouldn't you like to just dip into that along with your salt and pepper and your little bowls by your stove?
I thought you meant to eat it. Like, when I come home, I, like, wet my finger and, like, try rubs. Like, you crave salt.
Yeah. I know.
That and my salt look.
I've even been known to take a piece of cheese and dip it into a rub of some kind. It's just delicious.
This time of year, radishes, right? A little butter and then dip it into a rub like that.
Chris, that's a fantastic idea. Okay.
Don't even need the radish.
Now, this rub is a, as you call it, a porcine pleasing rub. Mm. And it's unique because of the cinnamon and the coriander. Tell us about this, Ray.
Yeah, well, one of the other challenges of writing cookbooks is coming up with names for all these different things. This is my 8th book. It's hard to come up with names for everything. I always start out with salt and sugar for a typical barbecue grilling rub. And then I add, this one has paprika, always for some color. I always want to have black pepper, granulated onion, granulated garlic. Those are like my standard things. So then what are you in the mood for that day? Well, coriander always goes along well with this stuff. Cinnamon's kind of a wild card. People don't expect that one, but I use cinnamon a lot in dry rubs. And people, as long as you don't use too much, people don't identify it. Kind of like that cocoa. It tastes like something really good, but it doesn't necessarily taste like you thought. Cinnamon, without adding nutmeg and sugar and a pumpkin pie, doesn't have all those flavors. Cinnamon has its own qualities that you use. And then a couple of herbs, marjoram and thyme, probably my 2 favorites. Always nice to add a little bit of that in there. And those dried herbs bloom when they get to cooking on the pork chop. It works out real well.
Now, you also say, even though this is labeled as particularly good for pork, whether it's a pork chop, a pork loin, you say it's also good with chicken and beef and lamb and fish and vegetables.
Yeah, this one is for sure. I mean, there's nothing that specific about it that would make it only for one particular meat. You know, the cocoa rub, that's pretty distinctive. I don't think that's going to go that well on chicken. But this one, these are all herbs and spices that you would use on pretty much any protein. So why not try it on that?
So can I ask you about spices before we start? We have a philosophy on the show. We love all the selections in our supermarkets. We love them. We're not dissing them. I will say that the one area where they could improve is in the spice department. The spices are too expensive, and they've been sitting in warehouses for ages, and they're not as fresh as they should be. So we go to health food stores where they're far less expensive, where there's a larger turnover, and the stuff hasn't been sitting in warehouses. It's so much cheaper. It's not $5, $6, $7 for a bottle.
I looked at some fennel seed the other day. It was a little jar of it for $6.
And
it's probably been sitting there for a year because nobody was going to buy it for $6. And I just walked away from it. Luckily, I had some at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I do not love them for what they do with the spice business in the supermarket. I think it's wrong. We're lucky down here. You know, if you go to Spanish aisle sometimes, you will find some things down here. That's what I find.
Oh.
There's another company that actually is not that big guy, and they seem to have better quality and fresher and a little more reasonable prices. But for me, I agree with the health food store. I find, as much as I hate to do this to people, I try to use only things that are available at the supermarket. I think you'd be much better off just making the effort to order some spices online. Chili powder in particular, the chili powder in Florida in the grocery stores is junk. I mean, if you happen to be in New Mexico, you might find some good chili powder in the grocery store. You're in Texas, but you're not going to find it here. And I just order it from Fort Worth. So as long as I'm ordering that, I might as well order some granulated garlic and granulated onion, which is, you know, I said that when we blew right by that, but most folks would have onion powder and garlic powder. The granulated products that I buy, it's just a little bit coarser, and it just smells great. It smells like garlic and onion when you use it.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to handle. So I'll order that when I'm there. And if you have never tried cumin that's fresh, you really should get some because it's not very similar to the stuff you're probably buying. And I could go on about that. I'm with you 100%.
And the great thing is that we buy that. If you're buying the spices in the supermarket, you get a giant amount. It's rare that you're going to use all of that. And you know, you've got to change these spices at least every 6 months. So if you go to the health food store, you get double the amount called for in the recipe. It's going to end up costing you, 50 cents for that little plastic bag instead of $6. And then suddenly the dish is reasonable as opposed to costing you $40.
Just for the spices.
For the spices. I mean, it's crazy. So, Ray, let me go through these quickly because I know we're running out of time. You've got a pyramid barbecue rub, which is salt, paprika, chili powder, black pepper, oregano leaves, thyme leaves, allspice, and coriander. And that's Memphis style, right?
Yeah, Memphis, the original dry rubs in Memphis were made by a Greek guy at the Rendezvous, the famous rib restaurant. And so there's always oregano, and there's always a little bit of allspice in his rub.
That's what I think of Memphis.
Fascinating.
The Pyramid is the big landmark there in Memphis that they've actually just made into a Bass Pro Shop. If you haven't been there, go. It's amazing what they did.
I love to fish. Yeah. I'd love to go to Memphis. I've never been there.
Sparkly
what fun
red
that would
bass
be.
Boat.
Oh, I love Memphis. Yeah, I was just there in May. It's a lot of fun.
Spicy blackening rub for people who love heat. This is a real fired up thing with lots of cayenne in it. There is a chicken po' boy rub. I love it that you did it with chicken, not just oysters. And there's a St. Pete steak rub, and that's from St. Petersburg, Florida, as you might imagine. There's the legend rub, which makes that sound like it's your most famous rub in here. Why is that? Why do you call it?
No, you're gonna be a legend if you use it. That's the
kind.
You got to dream up names for these things.
Okay, we're gonna be legends from your cocoa rub, is what we think. So
awesome along.
Sesame seed rub, and there is a rub here for dessert. This is a champion recipe. This one, right? Because it's toasted coconut lime rub. And this goes on pork and chicken.
Peaches is what she used it for. It's my friend Beth Peterson. She was a world recipe champion a couple of years ago. So I asked her for a recipe, and she came up with that. Really interesting. Now, she made it on some peaches, and it certainly would be good on pineapple. But I think it would go good on some pork as well. And chicken absolutely would. You know, don't be afraid to experiment.
Yeah, it's very South American, kind of fantastic. Mm. Ray, how wonderful to be with you again. And keep writing, because we're going to have you every time you do something.
I got another one in the works, so...
Okay. All right.
Always great to talk to you.
I need to. Take care now. His book is called Flavorize. The recipe that is our absolute favorite in here is we think, legendary, and it's on our website right now if you go to foodschmooze.org. The Food Schmooze here on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. Of course, we're online anytime. You can not only find information about the cookbook we just talked about, but other cookbooks, tons of recipes. Thousands of you are going to the site. We thank you for that. You're finding our value wines, our easy cocktails, and it's all at foodschmooze.org. S-C-H-M-O-O-Z-E. Here's to pleasure, my friends, and remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.